This podcast is brought to you by Voice and Vision, bringing help, hope, and healing to individuals, families, and communities affected by mental illness, addictions, and disabilities in southeastern Pennsylvania. Financial support for this podcast is provided by a Veterans Trust Fund grant from the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Welcome to Untold Valor, a podcast with a unique focus on veterans, featuring stories of courage, recovery, perseverance, and strength. Listen to hear veterans share their perspectives on what it's like to battle mental health challenges, combat addictions, and overcome other adversities unique to those who have served.
Welcome to another edition of Untold Valor, Veterans Recovery in Action. Once again, excited to have a great guest on the podcast to talk with us about what life was like for them during service, after service, and how they were able to transition and move their lives forward in different ways as well. And very, very excited this week to have a special guest on the show. I know I say that every week, but they're all special guests. We have Chief of Police of Springfield Township, Joseph Daly, with us. So looking forward to hearing about his story a little bit and sharing with those out there. And so as always, if you've got some things that you need to talk about or you need some help, well, the great team at Voice and Vision is here to help you with some of the transitions that you might face, as well as the folks at Compeer Corps. So we have links and resources in the show notes of the podcast and at the end of the show as well. So check that out if you need so. But now let's get started and welcome in Chief Daly. Joe, as he told me to call you, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Very good. Good to have you here. So we always start out with a real simple thing. Give us a little background on you, sir, like time in the service. Obviously, I've seen that you were in the service for a number of years before you transitioned back to civilian life, where you're still serving. But let's kind of go back to your service time.
Mark, I started, Vietnam was in full swing. I was in high school in 1967 as a senior, and I wanted to enlist. I'm one of 11 children.
Wow.
Two of my brothers were in ahead of me. So I joined the Marine Corps while I was still in high school, waited until I graduated, and then went to Parris Island. And then from there to Lejeune, and from Lejeune to Geiger. I was a machine gunner on the ground. I carried an M60 machine gun. Then I come home, went to Camp Pendleton for jungle warfare, and then shipped over to Vietnam. Right as I was concluding my first tour, I signed up for a second tour because I just felt connected with my brothers over there.
Right, yeah.
So it was my company lost 88 killed in action while we were in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Over 70 when I was there. I arrived there in 1968, March of 68, and I returned home the end of November 1969.
I see you did two tours. Yeah. And yes. And so you went in. So you were, what was your final rank, sir, when you came out?
Well, I joined the Marine Corps. I was a buck private. Before you left the States, they made you a private, first class. So I was a PFC when I made it to Vietnam. Less than a year later, I was a sergeant. I got a combat promotion to sergeant. General Simpson gave me a, called me down the field. He said, "What's your name, son?" I said, "Corporal Daly." He said, "No, it's Sergeant Daly." So got a combat promotion to sergeant, which I was always proud of, except when my first sergeant said to me, "Do you know how important that promotion is?" I said, "I don't have a clue." He said, "Well, nobody below the rank of a two-star general can take that stripe away from you."
Nice.
And I said, "You think that's good news?" I said, "If I do something wrong and I have two-star generals and above sitting on my board, I'm going to be in jail for the rest of my natural life." Yeah.
Okay. So I see what you're talking about there. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned, didn't want to screw that up.
Yeah, exactly. Don't want to mess that up. Well, you mentioned Parris Island and Lejeune. That's my neck of the woods here. I'm in North Carolina. I lived there in that area for a long time. So very familiar with that. And of course, as always, thank you for the service and the time that you put in. So one of the things we focus on here, Joe, is the struggle sometimes that veterans face when they've left service, right? And they've come back home and they've transitioned into civilian life or whatever the case is, or even many years later with PTSD. One of the big things that we talk about often here on the show and is trying to get, help and resources. And a lot of times it's just hearing someone else's story that's similar to theirs, right? Because, you kind of walk the same walk, talk the same talk, right? And so it's one of those things where it kind of helps. Obviously, with Vietnam, there's a lot of PTSD after the fact on that and things of that nature. Have you seen a lot of improvement? You've obviously transitioned to the civilian life and the police force. Improvement in help and healthcare in those arenas?
Mark, if there's a difference between day and night, that's the difference.
Yeah.
When they didn't prepare any of us, you know, we were all trained to be warriors, especially Marines. We were told we were indestructible, mm-hmm. you know, that we could take it, face anything. But nobody told us when we came home that we would have issues. My issue is I had survivor's guilt for the longest time because I couldn't understand why I came home and so many of my brothers didn't. And it really ate at me.
Yeah.
And I made a promise when I left Vietnam for my last day that as long as I lived, I would never forget them. And every major occurrence in my life, I would think of my brothers. And, you know, when I got married, when I had my first child, mm-hmm. grandchildren, every major event in my life, I would pause and think about them because so many were under the age of 20 years old and never got to live their life. So that bothered me. I went to the VA when I first got out, and they actually made me feel like I was a criminal.
Oh, wow.
They made me, you know, just the way I felt. So I never went back. And then fast forward, a few years ago, I wound up with diabetes. And you know how our wives are. My Donna pushed me to go and check it out. And I got a pension for diabetes. You know, my hearing loss. I was a machine gunner. So, you know, you don't wear earmuffs in combat.
Right.
So my hearing was shot. I got tendonitis and all that. And just recently, my VA doctor talked me into calling the VA psychiatrist about post-traumatic stress disorder. And when I talked to the guy, I said, hey, doc, listen, I'm not digging foxholes in the front yard. You know, I'm not reliving the war every day, you know, that kind of thing. I said, I have friends that I visit all the time at our reunions that never left Vietnam. You know, they're here, but 55 years later, they're still living in Vietnam. And I'm not that guy. And he said, well, let me tell you something. Do you think about it? I said, yeah, I think about it. And I think about the guys. I think mostly about the guys we lost. And he said, well, you have post-traumatic stress disorder. He says, there's just two types, functioning and non-functioning. He said, you have functioning post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, here I am 75 years later, 55 years after I come home, and I'm just coming to terms with this kind of stuff. But a point you made, Mark, and I can't say it loud enough and long enough, veterans out there, do not suffer in private. There's more help than you can possibly ask for out there. All you got to do is say, help me, and you'll be inundated with people who only want to help you, get you back on your feet, help you get these things behind you, especially combat veterans, to put that to pass. I worry so much about our Afghanistan and veterans who in Iraq. I worry about them. Unlike us, you know, I was a kid. When I came home, I was 20 years old. I couldn't vote and I couldn't get a beer, you know, but that's where it was. But I had a girlfriend. I wasn't married. I didn't have children. I didn't have a career, you know, and these young men and women serving today, multiple deployments into hostile areas, and you got to tip your hat to them. And I plead for them to not put this stuff aside, to please reach out and get help.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed at how much is there and how many people really want to help you, especially the VA today. I mean, actually, they drive me nuts now. They're so, they're constantly on the phone or constantly reaching out to me. So it's important. The benefits are there. Go for them.
Yeah, that boy, just well said. Could not have said that better. As the father currently of a 26-year-old in the Navy, I certainly, you know, second that sentiment, right, for the younger folks serving today. It's like, hey, you know, get the help when you can. And there definitely is a lot more of it. I really appreciate you sharing that message with our listeners. And it is interesting, right? So you kind of felt like you weren't, you know, yeah, I mean, I think about it, but I feel fine, right? And the doc's saying, well, no, this stuff can linger, right? And so you got to have these resources. And you talked about seeing your buddies and things of that nature as well. And that goes a long way. And that's what a lot of, I think, is work really great about what Compere Corps and Voice and Vision do is really trying to get people with other like-minded people so they have that, you know, kind of camaraderie. It goes a long way.
It does. It absolutely does, you know. And, you know, linking with, we started, when they first reached out to me about coming to our reunion, we meet, the guys I served with in Vietnam are still around. We meet every other year at somewhere in the country. But I missed the first five or six because I was afraid I was going to go there and we'd start talking about it. And it was a it was a door I tried to close, not successfully, but I tried to close that door. And I felt that if I went, it would open the door and might cause me some concern. Nothing could be further from the truth. Ashley has helped me with the closure, meeting with my brothers and talking with them and knowing about their families and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, there was a lot of talk about the war. Now we're old. We're getting old, so we talk about our grandchildren and our
right.
health issues, you know, that kind of stuff now. So
that's good, though, right? I mean, so you're kind of evolving through that. And when, you know, Joe, when you came back, obviously, I was reading in your bio here, you switched to becoming a police officer. You said you came back in 70 and you immediately went to the police force?
Yes. I came back in the end of November of 69. And I joined the police force in March. I wasn't 21. I had to wait till I was 21.
Oh, okay.
They did the background for me. And, you know, I got a great story about that, Mark.
Sure. Please.
In those days, to be a policeman, you had to be over 5'11". You had to weigh a certain vision, be able to physically fit, and you had to weigh 165 pounds. I came back from Vietnam. If I weighed 150 pounds, I was heavy, you know. And we're in the process for getting hired, and I step on the scale. I say, here I go, I'm done. To my amazement, the scale goes up to 165. And I look back, and Sergeant Bernie Lochran, who was a veteran, didn't serve in the war, but was a veteran, had his foot on the scale. And he said to me, kid, you can't possibly get any skinnier. And now, there was somebody, a veteran, that reached out to another veteran, and it changed the course of my life. I wound up, I was in Lower Marine for 39 years, and I worked myself through the ranks and was a superintendent of police when I left there. And now the chief of police here in Springfield in Delaware County. And it's that service. I think when I came home from Vietnam, the Constitution, I love this country. I love our Constitution. I love what we stand for as a nation.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to continue that. So it was just a natural transition for me to go into police work, where you're providing service to others in need and you're honoring and defending our Constitution of this great country. That all has value and meaning to me, and being a policeman has helped me through that.
So well said, and what a great story, right? So, you know, reaching out, just kind of giving you that little nudge, and yeah, you've been basically in the police force and serving since 1970, right, all the way through the present. So obviously that's been a lifelong career. And did you keep in touch with the gentleman that helped you get on the scale?
Unfortunately, Sergeant Lochran passed away many years ago, but I've never forgotten them.
Yeah.
That's why I keep telling veterans take care of veterans, and just show a fellow veteran kindness. And
for sure.
Along the way, if you can.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's all about trying to, you know, give back and figure out ways to say, hey, look, I see somebody maybe struggling with something that I can relate to. Right. And yeah. Everybody could use a hand, you know, a hand up as opposed to like a hand out. Right.
That's correct, Mark. And that's what the veterans organizations are about. That's what the VA is about. And, you know, I had one guy said, and I had a little bit too. I thought about the guys that came in with no legs or no limbs and mm-hmm. Arms missing and the stuff they went through. And I felt that save that money for them. So, but I can tell your audience without hesitation, all those guys are taken care of, and there's still plenty of money left over for us. Mm-hmm. Feel that we aren't deserving.
Yeah.
If you serve, you're deserving. And if you're having issues, you're deserving. So that self-esteem and nothing's got me. I'm too macho for that to bother me. You're on the wrong trail. Get off it and get on the right trail.
Indeed. And we've talked about that with other guests as well, right? That's a great point. Sometimes, depending on, you know, you said earlier, there's tons of resources in today's day and age versus what there used to be. It's out there. Reach out and ask for the help. But also, don't feel that level of pride that you can't say, well, I'm too tough to get help or whatever the case might be, right? Because everybody, again, could use a hand up sometimes.
Absolutely, they can. And that's, you know what? And it's up to us veterans, too, to reach out, look for veterans in distress and reach out to them. So your commitment to each other doesn't end. It ends when your life is over.
Mm.
During your life, you have to be committed to your brother and sister veterans, and we got to look out for one another.
Yeah. And I think societally, too, right? I mean, to your point there, as our society is certainly struggling with that kind of thing right now, And you felt that call to serve, you know, back home as well as in the civilian world as a police officer for all these years. You know, we just need to be a little bit more, kinder to each other, right? I mean, you know, fundamentally, I think people just want to be, or hopefully, you know, want to try to be good to one another. It's tough sometimes, but you know, you gotta be the first person to start it sometimes, right? If you see something not going great, you know, try to be the change.
That's correct, Mark. You know, and I did a life. I respect everybody. I don't care. You just committed a robbery. You shot three people. I'm not going to treat you differently. I treat everybody with dignity and respect, because you know what? They know they did something wrong, and it's not my job to make them know that they did something wrong.
Right.
My job is to bring them to justice, and you can do that without rubbing it in or street justice or any other nonsense goes on out there. Hmm. And people respond to that.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say I've been a policeman for going on, finishing up 54 years, and I never hurt anybody. I've been in dangerous situations, but I never had to kill anybody or seriously hurt anybody in the line of duty. And I'm proud of that. And I have faced armed robbers, murderers, and all that in my career. So it's just been, I think people know and respect you when you respect them. It's a two-way street.
Yes, sir. Wow. Well said. Boy, I tell you what, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us, Joe. It's been a fantastic, you know, chat with you. I like to usually wrap up the conversation with, you know, and you've already shared so many great messages anyway, but like if there was one thing that you could kind of share to a veteran or really anybody, especially because you've seen so much in your time as a police officer as well as in the armed services, just kind of a message of whatever, you know, a hope or optimism, whatever you'd like to kind of share as we wrap up this this episode.
Well, it's a message of hope. Don't give up. I don't care what your circumstances are, where you've been, how you got there, and there's always hope for a better day. And the VA services, veteran services, there's so many programs out there. Reach out and they will, you'll be amazed at how much they will come to your aid and help you through whatever crisis you're facing currently.
Yeah. Well said, sir. Well said. Well, Joseph Daly, thank you, sir. Thank you, Chief Daly, for being here. We certainly appreciate you and appreciate your time. And folks, again, if you've got some things that you need to get off of your chest or you need some help or you need to talk with someone, we've got those resources for you in the show notes and the tab there. So just click on that. There's also some information that'll come up here at the end of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to Untold Valor and share the podcast with others who might benefit from hearing the show and checking out stories of other folks just like them through their military careers. Again, Untold Valor, Veterans Recovery in Action. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Untold Valor by Voice and Vision. We hope you found the information and resources discussed today helpful. As always, thank you for listening and for your support. Remember to stay connected with us through our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit the website, voiceandvisioninc.org. That's voiceandvisioninc.org, where you can sign up for our blog and find free resources and information on upcoming events, webinars, workshops, and get support. You can also access our free help and hope guide for individuals and families struggling with substance use and addiction. If someone you know is struggling, please reach out for help because you and your life matter. Remember, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to you at any time by dialing 988. We are all ambassadors of hope and recovery. And if you want to share your story, please contact us. Compere Corps is also looking for veteran mentor volunteers and veteran participants. To find out more information about Compere Corps, please call 610-541-0790. That's 610-541-0790. You can find all the links and contact information for the resources mentioned on today's episode by checking the description and the show notes section of your app. Thank you again for tuning in and for your support. Until next time, this has been Untold Valor.